Someone has said that the Epistle to the Hebrews is the Leviticus of the New Testament. The writer to the Hebrews tells us of the tabernacle, which was the symbol of Jehovah's residence amongst his people. And mention is made in this ninth chapter that we read together of the two chambers in the sacred tent, each which had a veil covering the entrance. The first called the sanctuary, where the priests of Aaron entered for their daily administration. The inner chamber, or Holy of Holies, was for the high priest alone to enter one day each year. The great annual fast day, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would enter for atonement for his own sin and for the people. And the writer to the Hebrews shows the superiority of Christ's sacrifice as compared to the sacrifices of the law, and that these are indeed a foreshadowing of him that was to come. The ceremonial law, that vast system of blood symbols and covenants, were indeed sealed by the death of victims. But in the New Covenant or New Testament, it has been sealed forever by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has done for the New Testament or New Covenant, in sealing it, what the blood of the Mosaic sacrifices did for the old. But Christ, we read, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. I want to center our thoughts on the mediator of the new covenant. Sabbath past, our thoughts were centered on him who gave himself for us. And at the table we could see, in those tangible elements that spoke to us of the blood, the bread, the body broken, and the blood shed. I want to draw our attention to the word appear, as we find it in verse 24, in verse 26, and in verse 28 of this ninth chapter of Hebrews. And we shall put them in chronological order, looking at verse 26 first, that Christ did appear in the past, and at verse 24, that Christ does appear presently, and in verse 28, that Christ will appear in the future. Christ appeared in the past. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appeared. He made himself manifest. He was visible. He could be seen in bodily form. Christ was manifested to put away sin. Once. Not as the high priest who would enter often, once a year, into the Holy of Holies. But Christ, this great sacrifice, appeared in bodily form, in his incarnation, in the virgin birth, for the one and only time as a sin bearer. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the period of our Lord's bodily appearance is termed here the end of the world, or literally in the consummation or the conclusion of the ages. That is the divine plan. That is the covenant of redemption that has come in time. Christ came from heaven, born of a virgin, came to earth at that appointed time, in the consummation or conclusion of the ages. When we recall to mind the wounds in the hands and feet and side of the Son of God, who is at his right hand today, in Romans it is justified by his blood. In Ephesians we read, we are made nigh in the blood of Christ. In Hebrews, Christ entered into the holies through his own blood, and are entering into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Thus he put away sin, and this putting away of sin was at the consummation of the ages, manifested once for the one and only time, for the purpose of taking away sin. John Brown in his writings says, the Jews spoke of an age before the law, the age under the law, and the age after the law. These are the times or ages so often spoken of in Scripture. The age under the Messiah is the last of these ages and is often termed the latter times. All previous ages led up to this event. All succeeding ages are governed by this event. Each age had to do with this stupendous event that Christ would offer himself once at the consummation of the ages. In due time, we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly, or according to the time. God's appointed time. The dying of Christ on the cross has nothing to do with men. Yes, they had their determination to put him to death, but it is God's appointed time. And it is at the consummation of the ages. Everything looked forward to this great event, just as today we look backward to this great event. The hub of all things, the center of all history, is the coming of Christ once, put away sin, or as a sin offering. As to Adam, upon his sinning, God made for Adam and his wife coats of skins as a result of the death of substitutes. And outside of Eden there began that fallen race, each individual whose millions is dependent upon that appearing of Christ. On Sinai, God spoke to Israel For what purpose? That the law might, as Paul puts it, be the tutor or the guide to bring those who have been kept or guarded under the law to the faith that was to be revealed. That faith being in his blood who appeared to put away sin. That is the whole central fact in the passing of time. It ever was, is, and will be. What salvation? At the center of the ages is the appearing of the Son of God to put away once and for all your sin and mine. We are saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. He has assumed our nature. He has lived and died. He has risen and ascended. He's entered in once for all into the true sanctuary. How the achievements of men in this materialistic age would seek to dim our view of the one who was manifested, appeared in the hub of the ages to put away sin. And let it be pre-Reformation days of darkness, or in the days of the Hitler regime, or all such like, or in the face of revolutionary communism, or in the rise of Islam. The church's message is the same. The hub of the ages is Christ being manifested to put away sin, to deal with your sin, with my sin, to redeem the sinner who can't help himself. Let us grasp this evening the glory of that, the wonder of it, the grace of that event. That Christ, the incarnate Son of God, became obedient unto death to call unto himself a people, the church of the firstborn in all ages. His appearing to put away sin. And as we read in Romans chapter 5, we note that it's being coexistent with that of Adam's transgression. That since the foundation of the world, we read here in verse 26 in Hebrews, it's in the end of the world. And the axis that the history of this world revolves on is this great truth. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How then dare the church forget her great commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, making disciples in every nation, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I have told you. Have you come this evening to see the wonder of salvation, the wonder of this event? Do you know the Christ who came, the center of all things, in the great providence and plan of the Almighty? Have you grasped this event for your own life? Are you still in your sin? Are you still on the road to an everlasting hell. Are you still outside of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? And may the Holy Spirit bring you to personal salvation if you know not him. The one whose form appeared in the past on Golgotha's hill, once and only time. And in this he is our prophet, the promised one, who would reveal this great truth. Then in verse 24, we read Christ appears presently. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. The word here, to appear, to show forth, to explain, to manifest oneself. Perhaps this is a part of our Lord's work that we do not often think of. Many people are told, simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. They're not told of the one who keeps them and sustains them. And here in our Lord's priestly work of keeping and caring for his own, if they are indeed his own whom the Father has given, they will be brought safely through. None shall pluck him out of the Father's hand. But let us be careful to speak of this work of intercession that keeps us, and our Lord is continually occupied on the behalf of his people, on behalf of the saints. Our Saviour is manifesting himself personally, emphatically, presently, before the Father's face. And he is there, presenting us, each one, if we love, know and love the Lord, literally, to the face of God for us. Christ is presently appearing as our intercessory priest in heaven, our representative. As in the Old Testament, the sacrifice was offered without the earthly tabernacle, and the blood carried into the Holy of Holies, so the supreme sacrifice was offered up and is now entered into heaven itself, manifesting himself before his Father for all believers, that they might be kept in the world, kept from the evil one. Before God, our standing abides. Our standing this evening cannot be imperiled, for it's a standing secured and maintained by his priestly office, his priestly mediation. And as he prayed to the Father, as he did the Father's will, I have those whom thou hast given me, and none will be lost. I have prayed for them. No more has that sacrifice to be made. This is not of an earthly tabernacle, but of a heavenly. He has entered now to appear, that is, from the point of his entering as our high priest onward indefinitely. And there he presents our persons. There he prepares us for a place that one day will present us blameless before his presence with great joy. He is the mediator of the new covenant. He has gone in once for all for the sins of his people. And one day there will be filled with the fullness of him who now intercedes for them. Let it humble us as we realize our own unworthiness and helplessness, and how weak we are in the world day by day. And yet our confidence is in the Lamb, it's in the Christ, the Son of God. He became man, and having become man, he can say, "My Father and your Father, my God and your God, the shepherd of the flock, the great pastor of the sheep, our eternal high priest, who is not in tabernacles made with hands, but in heaven itself, at this very moment, interceding for you, believer, if you know him and love him. He's representing you, keeping you, every moment. He appeared in the past. He appears presently. And he will appear in the future. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The word appear here means to be seen. It's the root from which we get the word optical. He'll be seen by every eye. Christ's first appearance was connection with sin as our sin bearer. That is, not for the purpose again as he come and presenting himself as a sacrifice, but for the complete deliverance of his people. And the word salvation in Scripture so often means that our complete salvation. From the moment God calls us and we respond in repentance and faith, and he keeps us, and he comes again to receive all unto himself. The world goes on as if his first appearing had never happened. As if his becoming visible had never taken place. It goes on in its sin, in its greed, in its carelessness, in its pleasure. As Isaiah said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But in his coming again, in his appearing again, he will be seen. In Revelation 1:7 we read, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Seen by the eyes that glorified Christ and the King of Kings. His second appearing is unto salvation, to perfect the holiness of his people, to complete their happiness and the number of the elect. It is the Christian's great hope, because it is their complete deliverance. And the distinguishing character of the true believer is looking for him, or literally, to them that wait eagerly and ardently for him. Paul writes to Titus that believers look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord, great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. What hope we have to deliver us into everlasting security as we have come to saving faith in him. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, we read in Matthew, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a glorious and complete salvation we have. He appeared in the past, the hub of the ages, our prophet, the truth that he brought. And he appears presently before the face of God for his people, our great high priest. Christ will appear in the future. He's coming again to deliver his people with a complete and eternal deliverance. The King of Kings, every tongue will confess him as Lord. Every born again believer can say this evening, he is my sin bearer, my Saviour, my Sovereign. I trust him as the one who died for me, who lives for me, and who is coming again. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give praise and thanks for the salvation we have, so wondrous. That grace that we have in Christ, the mercy of God upon us, the love of God to us. Help us daily to show forth his praise. Help us, O Lord, to take into our hearts and minds this view of our complete salvation in Christ, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Our closing prayers is in Psalm 50. Psalm 50. 1-6, the mighty God, the Lord, has spoken and did call the earth from rising of his sun to where he hath his fall. From out of Zion hill, which of excellency and beauty the perfection is, God shined gloriously. Our God shall surely come, keep silence, shall not he. Before him fire shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. unto the heavens clear. He from above shall call, and to the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all. Together let my saints unto me gathered be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. And then the heavens shall his righteousness declare, because the Lord himself is he by whom men judged are. These stanzas of Psalm 50, let us arise in praise. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.